Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we have on the show with us, once again, Dr. Cornelius Hunter, a fellow of Discovery Institute and a graduate of the University of Illinois, where he earned a PhD in biophysics and computational biology. He's an adjunct professor at Biola University and also William Jessop University, and is the author of some well-known ID books, including Darwin's God, Evolution and the Problem of Evil, Darwin's Proof, and Science's Blind Spot. So, Dr. Hunter, thanks for coming back on ID the Future with us.
Yes, thank you, Casey. My pleasure.
So we're continuing our discussion of a new website that Dr. Hunter has put up on some of the failed predictions of evolutionary theory. And the website is kind of a convoluted website. You can get to Dr. Hunter's website by going to his blog, which is darwins-god.blogspot.com, and click on the Darwin's Predictions link. So, Dr. Hunter, in the previous podcast, we talked about some of evolution's early predictions. Let's talk about some of the predictions about the causes of evolution. You have one of the predictions being, or a failed prediction, I should say, that mutations are not adaptive. Could you elaborate on that failed prediction for us?
Yeah, sure, Casey. This is a fun one. It's very interesting. So, in Darwin's day, the source of biological variation was not well understood, but maybe 50 years later, early 20th century, evolutionists and geneticists had converged on mutations as the fuel for biological variation. You have these mutations occurring in DNA that's going to cause variation within a population, and then natural selection can operate from there. That was hailed as a great victory. Mutations were also seen as random. They're going to just occur by luck of the draw. Could be environmental toxins or radiation or what have you, but they're just going to occur more or less by chance, maybe with some tendencies to occur more or less often in one part of the genome or another or something like that, but basically without reference to the needs of the individual. It's a crapshoot. Maybe you have a certain environmental challenge, the climate has changed or something, and so a population is facing a challenge. Well, mutations aren't going to help with that in any direct way. They're going to be random with respect to the needs of the individual. The way evolution has seemed to work was it draws upon those chance mutations that happen to help. So you get a bunch of mutations occurring, and there's a small fraction of them that are going to help you, help the population. And those individuals with those mutations, yes, they will propagate, they will survive, they will reproduce, and that mutation then will be represented in future generations and take over. So mutations are not adaptive means that they're not triggered to help with the challenge. They're not adaptive to the current needs. It's just by sheer luck that you get a good mutation. And I think it's worth reading a couple of quotes here just to pound home how firmly this prediction was made by evolutionists. So here's one from Julian Huxley. And of course, Julian Huxley is a famous evolutionist just simply because he's the grandson of Darwin's good friend, Thomas Huxley. So Huxley wrote, "Mutation merely provides the raw material of evolution. It is a random affair and takes place in all directions. In all cases, they are random in relation to evolution. Their effects are not related to the needs of the organisms." That's the key there. Here's another quote from Jacques Monod, Nobel laureate from France. "Chance alone is at the source of every innovation. Of all creation in the biosphere, pure chance, absolutely free but blind, at the very root of this stupendous edifice of evolution. This central concept of modern biology is no longer one among other possible or even conceivable hypotheses. It is today the sole conceivable hypothesis, the only one that squares with observed and tested facts, and nothing warrants the supposition or the hope that on this score our position is likely ever to be revised." So there's some very strong language from Jacques Monod. Now, a geneticist named Lionel Fisher had this to say: "Mutations are random with respect to the organism's need." Very simple, succinct statement. So Fisher, Monod, and Huxley are famous evolutionists, leading evolutionists. This is a consensus position. This is not debatable. Mutations are a random affair. They don't help you except by chance, by luck. And so in the lingo of evolution, they are not adaptive. That's false. Now, 50, 60 years later, we've got much more data to draw upon. We know a lot more about mutations. Mutations are commonly observed to be, in fact, adaptive. Experiments have been conducted on bacteria, on plants, various organisms, where you challenge the population with some sort of environmental shift, temperature change, change in the soil conditions, what have you, and mutations directly arise that help address the challenge. They aren't random mutations that just happen to help. They are mutations that arise swiftly and repeatedly. So that's not what evolution predicts. In fact, it's been seen that when the challenges arise, the mutation rate itself increases. So it's time to adapt is the message. And so mutations start to occur and helpful mutations start to occur. Very interesting. A lot more needs to be learned about it. We still have a lot of unknown. A lot more needs to be learned about it, but the prediction is flat out failed, a very confident failed prediction.
And Dr. Hunter, a lot of what you're talking about is discussed by the University of Chicago geneticist Jim Shapiro, who talks about the idea of natural genetic engineering, that organisms are sort of designed to evolve in adaptive ways. He doesn't think that they're intelligently designed. I mean, he thinks that, I guess, these mechanisms arose somehow by unguided mechanisms, but still, there's sort of these pre-programmed adaptive pathways. This is very different from Darwinian evolution, where evolution is blind and happening in an undirected manner. In your opinion, how do these sort of directed mutational pathways get programmed in the first place? Is that a secondary question worth asking?
Yes, great question, Casey. And yeah, Shapiro has looked at this heavily, and you got genetic engineering ideas about how that's built into the cells. So I think it's worth stopping for a minute and talking about reactions to these falsified predictions. So, and by the way, on the website, there's a section on the common objections that evolutionists raise when you talk about these falsified predictions. And one of the objections that evolutionists often make is, hey, we've moved on. We've solved that. That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. We've figured out the problem and we've adjusted the theory. So a couple things there. First of all, yeah, sure, you've adjusted the theory, but the point is there is a trend. So the major fundamental predictions of the theory are repeatedly turning up false. Of course, it's going to be adjusted. Of course, the theory is going to be modified. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there's a track record. So that's important. The history is important. Theories do not exist outside of the history. They're not isolated from the history. Now, secondly, so what are these reactions? Each one has to be considered on its own merits. So each falsified prediction is followed by some response by theoreticians. In some cases, it's close to sweeping it under the rug. The evolutionists are more or less waiting for some solution to come around. In other cases like this one, you have emerging modifications to the theory. So evolutionists are working on ideas. As you mentioned, Shapiro, he's working on ideas. There's many other evolutionists who are working on ideas to remedy the problem. And so they could say, yeah, we're addressing that. You know, what's the problem? So another problem with all of these remedies is that the theory becomes much more complex. So you're losing the simplicity and the parsimony. You're getting the just on Tuesdays kind of a theory. Then it happens this way. So evolution is taking on immense amounts of complexity. In this case, you have to have the cell endowed with a tremendous adaptive capability. So it can generate DNA modifications that adjust to environmental challenges. It's a phenomenal level of complexity. How could this have come about? Well, that's a tough question. It's a very tough question. Was it designed? Was it created? We don't know all the answers there, but certainly from an evolutionary perspective, it does not fit evolutionary theory. What you end up with is, well, they evolved. This sort of adaptive capability evolved. So evolution created the immensely complex adaptive machinery in the cell for some future environmental challenge that it would be faced with. A tremendous amount of complexity, and you're losing parsimony rapidly. So when Darwin envisioned his theory, it was a pretty simple theory. He had some add-ons here and there, but it was fundamentally a fairly simple approach, and that's long gone now.
Well, I think that's a point well worth appreciating, Dr. Hunter, that regardless of exactly what the state of evolutionary theory is today, the way that it was formulated by Darwin, and for decades after Darwin even, it's changed radically. That original model has failed. The neo-Darwinian model in particular has failed. So I think this is a great point that you're making, Dr. Hunter. So again, if you want to read more about Dr. Hunter's list of failed Darwinian predictions, go to his website, www.darwins-god.blogspot.com, and you can click on the link for the website of his Darwin's predictions. So, Dr. Hunter, thanks for coming back on the show with us here.
Thank you, Casey.
Stay tuned for more. We're going to have Dr. Hunter back on to continue the discussion of Darwin's failed predictions. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.